Today is an auspicious day in many a respect. Today is Kshirabdhi Dwadasi. What it is said is the Lord awakens from the milky ocean as per the tradition. And today the Abhishekam will be done to him. On the day he raises, a judgment has come today for his establishment. It is said in scriptures, Ikshvakunam yam bhumihi sa seilavana kanana. This earth belongs to a dynasty in which Lord Rama has come. And today, at least a part of his place has been rededicated to him. Not to say that it is something victory for some people or defeat for some people, but it is to say that the righteous activities must be promoted always, and good people must be kept always alive in some form or the other for the mankind to follow and to flourish and to be together always. I hope that today is a day where good things always will make their own way to be flourished in this world. Let's pray to that Rama to bless us all to be on the path of righteousness, to stand for good. We know Narayana Acharyulu Garu for long, who is striving to promote such a kind of righteous practices right from the grassroots level to the top. And I adore all of you people who are supporting him with your peace of mind and also with your physical strength and also with monetary support as well. Good things need a lot of support. Bad things do not need. They grow on their own.
Yeah.
Far probably better than the weeds. But for any kind of good things, it needs a lot of persuasion, support, and constant effort. And of course, many onslaughts where we have to stand for them, and then we have to, of course, cross those hurdles. Narayana Acharyulu Garu is doing with the great support of our Ashokji and very senior person of justice, Sriman Venkatachalai Garu, and also now the recent probably income for the organization. Sriman Lakshmi Tata Charli Garu and Sharmaji and our Khanji. There are good number of people in today's perspective and also, of course, in ancient days. And they wanted good things to happen. As our Lakshmi Tata Charya Swami brought this book, Sakshatkar, into, of course, our hands, as brought by our Mahabharata Vyan. There is a lot of knowledge, there is a lot of wisdom, there is a lot of science, there is a lot of technology, there is a lot with mathematics, what not. Whatever is responsible for the creation of this universe, is there with man, is there with the sages, and of course it was in the form of scriptures. But unfortunately today, we lost a lot of stuff. It seems once upon a time there were 1131 branches of Vedas, which are the ocean of knowledge, probably mines of wisdom. But today we have only 10 with us. 1120 have gone to extinct. One of them was called Maitrayani. It's a branch of Veda. There was only one scholar who studied that Maitrayani, used to live in Nasik, by name Nanaji. One of the priests from Chidambaram studied that specific branch along with other branches, because he already knew. Went to Nasik and of course studied that from that scholar. The scholar was by the time 80 plus. This Chidambaram priest also was in 60s. But out of his interest and commitment, he went to him, stayed with him for 3 years and mastered that specific branch. We met with him in 1992. When there was a Vedic conference conducted in Prayagraj. There we met with the scholar and he was very much worried. I studied with a lot of effort. Already we lost 1120 branches. This branch also may go into extinct. Nobody is interested in getting this branch. What he said. I said, don't worry, I send you some students to you, teach him. We sent 4 students. They, of course, mastered the specific branch in 4 years. Then we wanted to honor the scholar. Before honoring him, we wanted to see that the specific book is published, because it's only with the person till then. He got 3 volumes of books with him. I asked him, can you give that book to me, please? So that I publish it as it is. Give you the original one. Keep a copy with us. Can you give me? He said, no. He said, no. He was denying. We put lot of effort, of course. And we allured him with many things. And finally, out of 3 volumes, he gave only 1 volume. When we opened the book, it was published in Berlin. In Nagarscript. In 1770. Where there are no swaras, Vedic text will have some kind of intonation marks.
Yes.
As how to pronounce it. Such a kind of marks will be there. They were not there. It was only just a normal text. Even that also he was denying to give to us. But somehow we got it and we promised him we represent this in a better shape. We took it. And then we added intonation to that. And then we split the words. We counted the words. There is a process in Vedas how to remember. Veda text in this size will be having about 1400 pages. And the beauty of that is when a scholar, like he is a scholar of course of that Maitrayani branch, the boy who is standing behind us. When they study that book, if you wake him up in the midnight and open the page randomly, ask him, can you read this? Not reading, can you repeat it? They repeat it with no late. They never say, please wait. Won't be there. Immediately they are able to repeat it. And they are also able to say from which part of the book, in which text, in which passage, and what is the number of that specific line is. They are able to say that. There is a beautiful organization for the Veda, which was probably made by, we don't know who did it. Some people say it is done by Ravana.
He was a good Veda scholar.
He was a great scholar. We made all that exercise for the one book, published it, checked this book with the teacher who taught that Veda to these people, and we invited that Nanaji to our ashram in Vijayawada, and of course presented those books to him. He opened the books and he saw the swaras. There is a way. All the first words of the paragraph are collected and they make another line with them. All the last words of the paragraphs are collected. They make another line. This is also what they memorize in the process of learning Vedas. That's how they are able to collect, recollect. They are able to repeat it. They are able to say that exactly what it is. We made all that exercise and gave it to him. He was in ninth cloud. He gave rest of the two books also to us. And we made similar exercise on that. And of course, we presented to him. Now he is no more. It's not why I mention this now to say that we did something great. We have been to Philadelphia once. There is an oldest university, Philadelphia University. We went to that university to see the Sanskrit department. What is the collection there? There are so many names mentioned, but no Vedic texts are mentioned. We clicked for Veda, but no mention is there with regard to them. We wanted to just go to that part where those books are kept. And of course, we were permitted to go. We saw them. Casually, we just picked up one book where there are so many webcams, so much dust. But to my astonishment, the book which we picked up and opened, it was Maitrayani branch of Veda. Which is not available in India, is available in the library of the Philadelphia University with all the swaras.
With swaras.
With swaras. With the intonation. The book was published. Published in Kolkata in 1870, but not available in India. Available in other part of the world, which was probably very, very, you know, surprising to us. Lot of knowledge is there with us how to manage the country, manage the people, manage the systems, manage the human relations, and manage the law. Probably the things are there in our Bhagavata. It is so mentioned. There was a king called Prithu. Prithu.
Vena.
Yes, Vena's son. Vena's son, of course, he was actually taken birth from a IVF process. So, and he was a very pious ruler of the world in general. where he established the systems of villages, towns, cities, and mega cities. How to formulate all these things, and where to keep whom and how, where animals are to be kept, where wild should be kept, and how to manage the systems. It was so amazing to see such a kind of things in our scriptures, which says there was a time when lot of exercise was done in maintaining the rural, urban, and probably the megacity system also in a very perfect manner, where there was no possessiveness, there was no arrogance, and there was no taxation, but people were living happily. People are able to understand each other. As our Tathacharya Swamiji mentioned, that many things are there in the scriptures. And of course, I agree with our honorable, permanently honorable, now he is, because he is retired. Venkatachalaya Garu, we need not deny the present science, the present available systems, but we need to understand that whatever that we have has been taken away and patentized by others and given back to us, probably to the world, in a distorted manner. We always take a few examples for that. When Krishna Devaraya was ruling this country here from Karnataka, he was leading lakhs of probably battalions with him when he was conducting so many wars, right? And when he was doing so, he must be addressing them before putting them into action. How? There was no mic system, because it was discovered in 1900. Before that, there was no mic. But how he was able to address all those people? Was there any system? And when Ashoka was fighting, not this Ashoka, but in Kalinga. So, and he also was having lakhs of people military with him and conducted so many wars. He must be addressing those people to inspire, to wage the war. Must be addressing them with what kind of system? Communication system. What skill was there in those days when the mic was not at all invented? No thought of this also. There must be a system, probably which must be far better than the system we have today. Because without using electricity, without using any kind of battery, there was a system which was probably highly perfect and used probably for those purposes, which was later taken away and of course stamped otherwise and gave back to you in a different way, which is having so many repercussions. Was there any kind of the mathematics with our scriptures? There are. When you read the Ramayana, in Ramayana, all the monkey battalions were entering Lanka. Ravana was curious to see that. And he went up to his building. And he was just watching. Two of his statisticians were with him explaining the things to him, because they were sent earlier. They have changed their attire and entered the monkeys before. and of course monkeys found them and beat them to pulp. Then they went to Rama and surrendered. And Rama said, "Who are you? Why did you come here?" They said, "Sir, we were sent by Ravana to understand the people here. You would have come to me. You would have asked me." And then he called his people and said, "Give him a computer printout. Let him use it." So he has taken it. And keeping that in hand, the Sukha and Sarana, two statisticians, were explaining to Ravana who was the person and what is his capacity, how many people are with him. This was what he was giving the data. Before starting the data transmission, he wanted to say something to Ravana. "Hey Ravana, I wanted to tell you about the figures. Then I can give you the data of how many people are there in Sugriva's military. And you know what happens if we put two zeros after one. How do you call it?
100.
100. Add five zeros. Then what happens?
1 lakh.
Add five more zeros. What happens? It was difficult for us to understand. And add five more zeros. What happens? Add five more. He kept on adding 5, 5, 5 zeros and gave a name to that, and he went up to 65 zeros.
65.
10 to the power of 65. And he said, "This is called Mahaugha. Mahaugha. Ravana, did you follow what I said so far? I don't want to confuse you much. Anyway, keep this Mahauga in your mind. And with each of those Vanaras, there are millions and billions of Mahaugas. All are now entering Lanka to wage war with us." This is the statistical information given, which is very much present in Ramayana, if we read the Ramayana book. But if you go to Vedas, there are figures mentioned, 10 to the power of 423. Can you imagine? The power of the mathematics that is there in our scriptures. But all these are there, as our justice wonderfully mentioned, it is not enough to say, "Oh, our grandfathers did this, our Vedas said that, and this much of knowledge is with us." This is actually not going to help us in any way. Are we able to present it? Are we able to really show this? Are we really able to bring a practical way out for this knowledge? This is the big question, where we have to work out. But the unfortunate thing is, we people, where there is great brain, where there is abundant knowledge, was suppressed since long, probably more than thousands of years. And unfortunately, we learnt only the slavery.
Very well, sir.
And it is still in our genes. It is in our genes. We have to come out of that. It is so sad. So far, we never given any kind of freedom. We were not allowed to be free in our own way to explore the knowledge that's there in our scriptures. There is no support from the government. There is no support from the schools. There is no support from the colleges. And the scenario today is, like, if anybody studies the books, and it is very becoming very difficult for him to get married also. No girl is ready to come and just, you know, marry such a kind of boy who studies this kind of scriptures. He may be earning a lot, but they say, "We don't want this kind of guys." This is the scenario today. So, for some time, we were not allowed to study those books. And, of course, now, fortunately, the things are getting changed. If we go through the life of Ramanujacharya, and of course even Shankaracharya, who went to Kashmir to explore a part of knowledge, and we didn't find any mention from Shankaracharya's life history, what did he really found and how he represented that to the world, because he went to the Kashmir and did not return. That is probably the end of his life. But in Ramanuja's life it is mentioned. He found the ancient literature and also he got the needed information. He came back to Melkote, where actually he brought it into the usable format. That's why probably the Melkote is considered as Jnana Mandapa, where our Tathacharya wanted an institution should be there which should work on that part of knowledge comparing with the modern sciences, and something should be brought out. My point is, the knowledge was there. In 1989, we have been to Punjab on a Padayatra along with our Vedic students. As a part of our Padayatra, we visited a place called Hoshiarpur, where there is a great institution called Vishwabandhu Indological Research Institute. We were curious to just visit that place, so we went to that place. There was a director of that organization called Dr. Nair, who was from Kerala, and then he just gave a tour to us around that library, where there are more than 35,000 books available, ancient works, and most of them were in South Indian scripts. Most of them were in Telugu. And I was so surprised and asked him, "Dr. Nair, how could you get all these books in Telugu? And in this part of the Punjab, how come this happened?" Then he gave the story. He said, "You must have heard about Shankaracharya and Ramanujacharya who visited Kashmir, right?" I said, "Yes." And they visited a place called Sarada Peetham, where there is abundant knowledge preserved. I said, "Yes." That library was till recent, when the India and Pakistan were divided. Then lot of probably the literature that was preserved there was burnt to ashes. Only very little portion, maybe less than 5%, was bundled and given to the people who are just migrating and said, "Drop it somewhere, we come and collect these books." They were sent. And even among that literature, lot of things were damaged at the border. We got only 35,000 works from that part, came to this place, and they are preserved here. So the Hoshiarpur, that Indological Institute, is still housing all those books which are available to us. Tathacharya Swamiji must be remembering. You have shown me one picture as how the earth looks like.
Yes.
As if there is a bush being probably caught up by a rabbit standing on his legs.
And trying to eat the two leaves of a peepal tree.
So,
That was
Do written, you understand
that was
probably
actually written by my great grandfather under the guidance of Madhramangala Ambarjiya Swami.
Yeah, it is there in Bharat.
Bharat, yes.
It is there in Mahabharata
also.
Also
it is stated, but it was picturized under the guidance
of Madhramangala. It is first mentioned in Ramayana and then brought into the Mahabharata also. Earth after division. Probably I think you all may appreciate to say, if you want to draw the map of the earth, what do you need? Draw the map of the earth. What do you need? Satellitic eye. Right?
Yes.
Going on a ship, going on a boat, you won't be able to draw the map. You need a satellitic eye. When satellites were formed? It was 1950s when the Yuri Gagarin went into the space, the first man in the space, right? It's only 1950s, not before. After all, the rocket was found after a long time. Even the flight was found in 1920s. And before that, nothing was there. Man, as per the modern people, doesn't know how to fly in the space. Am I right? And do you agree with me that these scriptures, you call it Bharata, you call it Ramayana, you call it something else, was there even before Christ? Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Because the great poets like Kalidasa also mentioned about Rama. And the Bharata or Bhagavata, which goes back to 6,000 years, also mentions about this. That means for sure it was written a few thousands years before. There it is mentioned that the earth was divided into different continents, as you say, the movement of the plates make the earth to appear with continents, right?
They are called dvipas.
Tectonic.
Crown chart
dvipas. Yes.
Tectonic
plates. So before that, the earth was like a square piece. Then it started division. After dividing the whole thing, how does it look? Is the mention in our scriptures. There it is said, after division, the earth started looking like as if there is a big bush. And there is a rabbit trying to catch hold of that bush. How many of you seen the world map?
Never saw the rabbit, sir.
Hey, laptop and dekha. Can you believe that there is a rabbit? It is there, it is mentioned. And of course, we saw this with Lakshmi Tatachari in ASR. And then when we were there in the Hoshiarpur, there he showed that to us. And I was so moved by seeing that. My point is, it is there in the book. That means the satellitic technology also was available. How accurate it is. How precision it is. Now even if we make the remote sensing, the precision is probably
two meters.
Okay. 2 meters. Okay. Or even if you go to Canada, the precision rate is probably few inches. But there, it is mentioned exactly to the scale in the scriptures. My point is, knowledge that was in use is preserved in the works. For sure, people were happy in those days. But so many things have fallen on our heads. Since probably millennia. And now we are searching for peace. We are searching for justice. Now, probably our Venkatachalaya Garu may feel painful the way the justice is going. Everything is manageable, right from the lower level till the Supreme Court. How can we are secured in a place like this on this earth? Can we? We need good things to happen. We need justice must be there. We need a kind of sharing attitude must be there among the people. We need that nature must be preserved and protected. With the technology we have today out of the rocket, we see the ozone is pretty much damaged. But in those days when the scriptures were written, where they gave the earth map pretty much accurately, then there was no damage of ozone. But they got lot more than probably the knowledge what we have today. So there was use of science, use of technology, and use of justice, and also great sharing attitude. All these things were there, very much indigenous, but with no side effects. With no side effects. They were very, very eco-friendly, as our Swamiji said, and they were very much usable even by a common man. The question automatically comes, when such a kind of technology is there, probably was there in the scriptures, why it's not given to us today? The question automatically comes, right? The very simple reason is there in Ramayana. Nowadays, we have radars. Radars are able to catch a figure from a distance, but it won't be able to control the figure with the shadows, right? Yes. But in Ramayana itself, we find a mention that there was a scientist called Simhika, who was not only able to understand the figure by shadow, but able to control the figure also with the shadow. That technology is not available today. Still. Hanuman understood if... No. It is. But I'll give you in a better way. I'll show you. But Hanuman thought, hey friend, your technology is great, but usage is wrong. Technology is always good, but if it is in wrong hands, then you are always in trouble. Knife is great, but if it is in the hands of a doctor, then it treats many people. But if it is in the hands of a thief, it takes away so many lives. So you have a technology with you, but you are using on a wrong person, like me. I'm going for a good cause, and you want to use the technology on me? So better not to keep this kind of technology in persons like you. Then he eliminated that person. So there was technology which probably common man doesn't need it. Common man wants food, roti, kapda, aur makan. Ye teen rahe to paryapt hai. If these three things are there for him comfortably, I think his life goes very quiet. What are the things we see today is only the big fight between the great, great, great politicians. The so-called hi-fis. Probably if we keep them aside, people are so friendly, so sharing, and enjoy their life. They don't bother about so many big things. They want to be with nature. They want to be with the world, with people. There was a system like that, which was planly or which was ruined in a systematic way. And as our Lakshmi Tathachar Swami said, we were under the Macaulay's influence. Narayanachari is now striving to bring back that glory. Narayanachariji's intention is to make the world a livable one for long, not only up to 2050. Here is the small presentation for you guys. Are you able to see, sir? This is how it was. Even today, now our Sarmaji, when we came here, he said, just holding his hands like this, and he was chanting something. You know what it is? He says, Chatusagara Paryantam Go Brahmane Bhyaha Subham Bhavatu. That means people living on the earth, surrounded by four seas, live in peace. Immediately your question goes like, are they seven seas or four seas? This is where we want to show you. Once upon a time, the earth was surrounded by four seas. Probably the chanting came from them since then, which did not change even today, even after probably trillions and jillions of years, of eras, not years, eras. It started then. This is how it was looking. I'll tell you the source where I got it from later. But first I want to show you this. Sound piece, eh? Let's put this on. Now, I'd like to tell you, just hold just for a moment. Okay. What they said, it was 2000 million years ago. That's what they said. Where I got the source, there they mentioned the square 2000 million years ago. That's what they mentioned. And then 1500 million years later, then it turned like this.
It's like a triangle.
Yeah. Okay. So I show you now. No, this is what it is. 2000 million years ago. This is the photograph we taken from the source. This is 1500 million years ago. This is also a photograph which we have taken from the real source. After 1000 million years, it started looking like this. Probably you are able to appreciate, this is India, this is Africa, this is Europe, and this is America.
So, well, I think India is in the middle.
Yes. India is here.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Azhar?
Yes.
And now, this is the current state of the world. Am I right? Are you able to see the world?
No. I have seen the world, sir.
Like this. The
world of illusion.
And here, what they said, this is after division. How the division took place, the source where I got these pictures was not given, but we have the source, how the world is divided in our scriptures. And how much time it took to divide, that source also is available with us. And here they mentioned, it looks like as if a rabbit is trying to catch hold of a bush in front of it. Are you able to see the bush or rabbit?
If it is reversed, we can see it.
And see this. Wait. Can you see this? All that we made is upside down. But can you really tell me what is the upside of the earth and what is the downside of the earth? You are right, sir. When you take a planet, there is no upside, there is no downside. It's pretty much relative. Yes? So, how you look at it, it's all it matters.
Perception.
So, but... So my point now is, for making such a kind of drawing, even to imagine, it's not just humanly possible. Until and otherwise you have a satellitic eye. Even through the satellite, you are able to cover only half hemisphere of the earth, not the entire picture. But this is mentioned by our scriptures. They must be having far better view.
What about astral travel? Talk about astral travel, like we leave your body and go out.
It is. It is. Yes. It's possible.
It is possible.
It's possible. But it was not given to a common man to use because common man doesn't need that. What you see the rat race today is only to satisfy the egos of the people. Because he purchased a Benz car. So though I don't need that, I also want to purchase. For which I have to steal something. Or I have to do something. And for which I have to adopt so many processes. Which really make no sense if we really understand them. So many systems are made probably to support one system for that another system, like for a disease. First one antibiotic is given to avoid the side effects, and one C vitamin is given to avoid the repercussions, another tablet is given. So many things are added one to the other. But the real life is very simple and it's very straightforward. And we need to bring it back. Narayana Acharya's intention probably is that Mahabharata Abhiyan wants a kind of environment must be created where man lives like a man.
With peace.
Not making his mind to pieces. Enjoying just peace. That is what he wants to. Where he wants to inspire people, where he wants good minds to come together, nice brains must be joined together and work for a single goal like that. Is it possible? it is possible. Nothing is impossible, but it may be difficult to achieve. For sure it is difficult. So, you know, bringing a good brains like our Justice and our Kapoor Saab and our Khan Saab and Sharmaji and Tatachar Swami, like people together to a common platform and bringing all of you to a location, I don't think it's easy. It's a very difficult thing. And it is Narayana Acharya who took lot of effort to bring people like Bharat and others who gave up their other earnings and who actually probably facing so many problems from their family members.
That is always there.
But still they resolved. They resolved to work for a single goal, and that's where they started motivating people like us and bringing us together to a single platform. Understand first, inspire people. And it should be by word of mouth that we have to take the message to people and motivate them, bring them for this goal, and then see that the ripple effect must be there in starting something to work. Mahabharata Abhiyan is striving for that. It is not just exploring the scriptures, but it is exploring the mankind, the real heart of man, and to see the systems must be there to protect it, because it's more delicate than the heart, so it must be properly protected. Lot of effort is needed to be done. Yes, it is needed. And he is for that, and he is trying all sorts of efforts to making such a kind of environment where good people join, do some kind of work. Probably this day is a blessing for this Mahabharata Abhiyan. And this time is also very appropriate for Mahabharata Abhiyan, because at least now, after 72 years of independence, people in India are able to raise their head and say that we are Indians. We are Indians. We are Bharats. So far, we have no face to face the world. But today at least we are able to say that we are Indians across the world, thanks to Modi ji and his team of people. At least here are people where they understand that Indianness, Bharatiyata, is something which is very precious, very valuable. We need to preserve that. We need to protect it. Ek gana humne suna, is desh ka dharti, is Bharat ka jo mati hai, isme sugandh hai, isme suruchi hai. There is a taste and there is a fragrance. Both are there in the soil. We have seen in America, we tasted the soil there, no taste. We sprinkled some water and checked, no fragrance. We went to Australia, we went to Europe, and we checked the soil there, but the fragrance and the taste that the soil has is unique. It's nowhere in the world. Now, yes, we might have adopted many things like political parties, probably religions, whatever it may be. But the soil has such a kind of greatness, and it should be brought into life again. That is what the Mahabharata Abhiyan is striving. Understanding that probably there are good number of people who are joining this Abhiyan from whatever the religion they belong to. Our Kanji, yes, he is also joined a part of this Abhiyan. And there are many people who joined in this Abhiyan thinking that we are first Bharats. We are Indians. We have to bring back that glory. And we have to see that people enjoy that. How much time it takes, how long it takes, it is not our job. Sowing the seed is our job. Let anybody enjoy the fruits. We don't care. But seeing that seed must be properly sown and protected with a shield, with a guard, and then it should be allowed to grow well. This is what our team of people in Mahabharata Abhiyan are doing. We offer our prayers to all of those team members who are putting all their efforts in this, in bringing such a kind of great stalwarts into the stream. And also, they are able to appreciate the works done by this Mahabharata Abhiyan. And we hope that the initial steps are very difficult. But once it started, I heard a story. The bamboo takes long time to start growing. But once it starts growing, it goes very fast. So this is an effort by this Mahabharata Abhiyan started. And I'm sure that it grows proper and it yields good fruits for the mankind to enjoy. Our mangalasasanams to all these people. Venkatacharaya garu, we wanted to meet with him since 2004 when we first heard about him for some other reason about Tirupati issue. But thank God that he made this day to meet with him. And I'm so happy, sir, with meeting with you. And we take your guidance also with regard to that, but in future. And our Lakshmi Tathacharya Swami is a great asset for providing us the ways and systems as how they were earlier. And our, of course, team is here. How to make it to the current context, to the present context. And we hope that all these things must be seen properly and worked probably for a better goal. Jai Shri Narayan.